where smart policy and sound investment matters. The Rick Smith Show.
Because I've got a golden ticket. I've got a golden chance to make my way. And with a golden ticket, it's a golden day.
Yes, a golden day. Yes, sirree. If you look at the Trump budget, it's a golden day for the quote-unquote school choice folks. As I guess we're going to be expanding the golden tickets by $1.4 billion. Tack that on top of the $20 billion we're already giving out in golden tickets. And it is surely a great day for those pushing the Hunger Games of education. Because overall, the Department of Education, they're going to see a $9 billion cut, or about 13%. So, understand, we're giving more money to the privatizers and to the fetishists on the choice side, and cutting money to the rest of education. That's why they call it priorities, my friends. And I guess that's why they call this the skinny budget, or as I'm now calling it, the emaciated anorexic starvation budget, especially if you're one of those folks who at the bottom of the economic scale. Here to talk about today's budget, I've got Harry Stein. He's the director of fiscal policy there at the Center for American Progress. Harry, thanks for taking time for us.
Thanks for having me on.
So what do you think? Good, bad, indifferent? How are we enjoying today's budget?
Well, this budget is just an absolute disaster for anybody that is working hard or trying to get by, or you know, just people that care about working families and protecting basic living standards. We're still going through the details now, but I think what we've already been able to see as we've looked through this is really quite worrisome. Really quite a direct threat to the middle class. And to people who are trying to climb their way into the middle class. You know, I think it's important. The headline here is that there's this big cut to pay for a military buildup. But that, I think that it's easy with that big cut to just kind of, it's hard to understand what that actually means when you don't actually dig into the details here. So as we've dug into the details, what we're seeing that actually means is huge cuts to affordable housing, potentially 200,000 families losing their affordable housing support, which could potentially put them at risk of homelessness. Huge cuts to existing infrastructure programs. You know, President Trump has talked a good game about wanting to invest in infrastructure. We're not seeing that here. Instead, we're seeing big cuts. And that's kind of a theme with this administration, is we hear this rhetoric that's a bit unusual from Republicans, where we hear about support for infrastructure, or we hear about support for childcare, support for making sure that everyone has health insurance. But time and time again, when the rubber meets the road, the rhetoric doesn't match the reality. Yeah. Huge cuts to infrastructure, huge cuts to Head Start, and huge cuts to medical research at the NIH. And of course, as we're seeing on the healthcare bill, 24 million Americans lose their health insurance. So everyone's not going to have coverage. More people are going to be uninsured than they were before.
Yeah, mission accomplished. I mean, this is, you know, if you're a fan of the Hunger Games movies, this is really real life Hunger Games stuff.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this is, I think, something that really, I mean, as you say, it's really kind of an emaciated starvation budget. I mean, we're talking about huge cuts to the Meals on Wheels program, you know, completely eliminating several really important affordable housing programs, cuts to FEMA disaster grants for states and localities, so less disaster preparedness. There's just going to be a lot of places where people who are just trying to get by, this is going to make it harder or impossible for that to happen.
Right.
And at the same time, these are cuts that are really quite beneficial in a lot of ways to the wealthiest Americans or the powerful elites. I think you made a good point at the beginning with what we're seeing in education. Huge cuts to public education, but at the same time, helping out, you know, privatizing and vouchers. And we know that there's a lot of profit potential there. Huge cuts at the Department of Labor for things where the Department of Labor is trying to prevent illegal retaliation against workers, trying to prevent wage theft. Well, that takes enforcement. That takes, you know, quote unquote, cops on the beat at the Labor Department to help make sure that doesn't happen. And Trump is making huge cuts there. Now, that's great for bosses who are engaged in wage theft, but it's, of course, terrible for the people whose wages are being taken.
Certainly. And the other part of it is eliminating the Chemical Safety Board, because why would we want any of that? But here's the thing. And I know a lot of people are going, wow, I can't believe it's this bad. This is the priority of the Republican Party. This has been their priority. Lots of this stuff, the NIH, the Endowment of the Arts, the Humanities, public broadcasting, all of that, Meals on Wheels. A bunch of food programs for seniors. This has all been stuff that they've been wanting to cut since the Bush years. So for me, it's not surprising that it's in this budget. And oh, by the way, I don't believe this is Trump's budget because I don't think he read it.
You know, a lot of this stuff came out of a plan from the Heritage Foundation, very conservative think tank that really informs Republican policymaking, where they were calling for these huge cuts before the election, and a lot of that has ended up in the budget. You know, I think there was this false sense during the election, and it's understandable why people thought this, because the rhetoric was a bit different with Trump, but there was this false sense that Trump was different and maybe better in some ways than typical Republicans are, that always want to cut things like Meals on Wheels and Head Start and infrastructure. But what we're seeing is time and time again, that's not the case. This is Trump's Republican Party, and they are in lockstep on these kinds of things. They've been calling for these kinds of cuts, as you've said, since the Bush administration. And President Trump is more than happy to go along with that and to propose reductions that in some places are even deeper than what we've contemplated before.
Yeah, because I got to wonder how much of this is actually his work, or if he's just turning in someone else's homework. Because I don't see him as a details guy. I see him as a guy who said, just give me the details and I'll go out and sell it. I don't see him being that involved in this. Maybe I'm wrong, and maybe this is the priorities of this administration. But again, I got to wonder, you know, just how, just who did his homework.
Absolutely. You know, and I think his budget director, who probably did a lot of the homework here, very conservative former member of Congress, Mick Mulvaney, who is a member of the Freedom Caucus, which is the most conservative caucus in the House of Representatives, which is a very conservative place to begin with. A lot of this is his homework. So this is absolutely, you know, just very ideologically driven. I think the kinds of stuff that's been talked about in arch conservative think tanks for years. That said, I think that it's very possible. I agree with you that Trump is not a details guy, but even this budget, the details that there are not very detailed. This is a remarkably skinny budget. There's nothing in here about taxes, but we know that Trump wants to push huge tax cuts for the wealthiest Americans, which would mean even more cuts to these kinds of programs. And we still have, and this doesn't include, but I think we should think about it in the same way, because it's the same type of problem. The health care bill that Trump is supporting and that they're moving in the House right now, that provides a huge tax cut for the wealthy and at the same time takes health insurance from tens of millions of Americans. So I think that's right. You know, Trump has not been a details person, and we still don't even see a lot of details in this skinny budget. I think there's still a lot that will remain to be seen. And ultimately, Congress has the final say, and it'll be really important, I think, for people that are paying attention to this to really look at the details. Let their member of Congress know that they don't want to see cuts to Meals on Wheels or community development block grants that help local leaders revitalize communities or to Head Start. It's important for members of Congress to hear that, because I think unless they hear that from people, they're just going to do what Trump and what the Heritage Foundation and conservative ideology tells them.
Yeah, what to me is interesting, is going to be really interesting, is how the Republican Party is going to cannibalize themselves over this. Because, look, you've already heard people like Portman come out and say, well, I mean, I don't want the cuts to cleaning up the Great Lakes. You're going to have people who are going to have their little bit of the pie that's being sliced away, even though it is their ideology, that they're going to have to go home to their constituents and look at and go, yeah, this is what we really believe. To me, it's going to be interesting watching that infighting.
Absolutely. And I think that's why it's so important for constituents to be making sure that their members of Congress know that these programs are important, because I think that's right. You know, we actually saw a very similar attempt in 2013. Paul Ryan tried to do the same thing that Donald Trump is doing now, big cuts in non-defense programs. And what was remarkable, in 2013, the Republican House of Representatives couldn't pass appropriations bills that actually made specific cuts to implement their own budget. There's remarkably frustrated statements from the Republican chairman of the House Appropriations Committee saying at the time, my colleagues are declining to implement the budget that we voted for just 3 months ago. And the big thing that made that fall apart was a cut to community development block grants, this money that helps local communities revitalize.
Yep.
Well, Trump is proposing completely eliminating community development block grants. So we should see Congress saying, absolutely not, these kinds of cuts are dead on arrival. But I'm not sure if we're going to hear that from some of these members unless they hear it from their constituents.
Yeah, it's easy to run on the rhetoric. And I look at a lot of the rhetoric is, there's all this waste, fraud, and abuse, Harry. There's a huge office with a gold-plated door that's titled Waste, Fraud, and Abuse. And all we have to do is open that door and start cutting things. And when you start looking at what they're talking about, like Meals on Wheels for Granny, or education money, or the National Endowment of the Arts, or humanities, or any of that stuff, people start going, wait a second, that isn't wasteful.
Absolutely. I think that it's one of those things that maybe sounds nice. We're gonna get rid of all the waste, and that requires a scalpel. I think that there's certainly places in government where we can and should be spending more efficiently, but the answer is not just to dismantle any effort to help workers or invest in communities, and yet that's what we're seeing in the budget is basically just giving up on trying to raise wage, create jobs, and invest in communities, make sure that kids have good education. We're just not seeing that. And this is a budget that essentially gives up on that. And under the guise, as you say, of, we've got to change the way things are being done. But it's not really changing it except to just stop trying.
Yeah. Amazing stuff. You wrote a piece this week that the five things to watch out in the budget, and one of them was basic living standards. Do you think this budget does anything to help the average American family with basic living standards?
I'm not seeing that. In fact, basic living standards really get hammered in this budget. We're seeing the complete elimination of energy assistance programs. So a lot of people, particularly in the Northeast and Midwest, that just need help keeping their house heated in the winter, that program's going to be completely eliminated. We're seeing huge cuts to affordable housing programs. As I say, potentially 200,000 families losing their housing voucher. The community development financial institutions, these are institutions that try to provide locally driven and responsible financial options for people to save money, get loans, get good financial services. They're eliminating that program. Well, that's great for unscrupulous lenders and payday lenders who are now going to be the only game in town in some of these places. But, of course, terrible for people who are just trying to get by.
Wow. We're going to make payday lending great again, Harry.
Yeah, so this is a budget that would be great for payday lenders, but not so much good for anybody else.
Which is funny because I've been saying we're going to do infrastructure on payday loans. So this is just more of that model coming to be. Now we're going to spend an extra $54 billion on defense. Is this going to make us any safer?
No, and the problem is the way that the budget tries to finance that, in addition to all these terrible cuts to programs right here at home, it's also hollowing out all of the other things that we need for national security. I mean, things like diplomatic funding, making sure that the State Department can do its job, making sure that we're actually financing efforts to prevent conflict around the world. This is not some kind of, far left hippy dippy thing. This is something that Trump's own defense secretary, James Mattis, has talked about, where he's been asked about the importance of funding the entire national security budget, not just the Defense Department. And he's made very clear, he's got a great statement, when you cut the kinds of things that Trump is talking about cutting, he says, I need to buy more ammunition. That these kinds of cuts make America less safe, make future conflicts more likely, and make it harder to promote Americans' interests around the world. So I'm interested to see what Secretary Mattis now thinks about these kinds of cuts. But certainly in the past, the military itself has been very clear that, look, we're not the only tool here. And furthermore, I think before we start talking about huge increases in military spending, we ought to be spending more efficiently the money that we already have in the defense budget. And again, I think just like we want to make sure that spending anywhere else is as efficient as possible. Well, there's reports of huge cost overruns and huge unneeded overhead at the Defense Department. Senator McCain, who supports increased defense spending, but he himself has said there's places where we don't need to buy some of these expensive weapon systems that we're talking about. So before we throw $54 billion more at the Defense Department, and especially if we're going to finance that by taking away programs that just help ordinary Americans get by and invest here at home, let's make sure we're spending the defense budget as efficiently as we can.
Yeah, especially since you consider how large it is.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's more than half our budget.
We spend more on defense than the next seven nations on Earth combined. It's just not the case. I mean, this is not the main national security problem here. We have a very large military. The military is by and large in very strong shape, which isn't to say that there's no places where there needs to be investment, but the military is quite large compared to our next closest rivals. As I say, larger than the next seven combined.
Yeah.
So that's really not the number one issue that we're seeing in the budget.
You know, one of the
as
things
as national security.
You know, on the safety front, one of the things being cut, and this is one of those moments where, you know, very short-sighted, you know, the people who will step over a dollar to pick up a dime kind of thing. They're eliminating money from the National Institute of Health, which, you know, is our big research. You know, this is where a lot of that stuff comes from. But specifically what I saw was that the elimination of one of the divisions that focuses on global health, you know, making sure that we find out what is happening all around the world before it gets to us. That to me, that's extremely short-sighted.
Absolutely. You know, you think about global health, germs don't respect borders.
We could build a wall, Harry.
Right. Well, we saw this with Ebola, that you know, when these things get out of hand, and fortunately under President Obama, they actually did a very good job of containing that, but before it really did. But when these things get out of hand, they're a direct threat to the American people. And, you know, you can build a wall on the southern border, but that's not, unless we're going to just completely wall ourselves off and nobody can come into the country at all, and that's just not a way to run a country. That'd be terrible for the economy. You know, and when we saw the disaster that you know, we're already seeing this disaster from Trump's mass deportation policies and the mess that he's created at airports when he's denying visas to people that have green cards in some cases early on. You know, that's just no way to run a country, but it's also not actually going to keep us safe from these kinds of problems that develop somewhere else maybe, but then come to our shores. Mm-hmm. And global pandemics are absolutely one of those things.
Yeah, things happen. Last question I've got for you. Any chance this passes?
So I think there's certainly a chance, and that's why I think it's so important for people to be you know, paying attention and making sure that their members of Congress know where their constituents stand. Like I say, in 2013, they tried the same thing and they couldn't do it. So there's absolutely power to stop this. We've already seen members of Congress on the Republican side say that these cuts are not cuts that they can support. But we'll see what happens when the rubber meets the road. I think there's certainly a chance that it passes. Congress will have their say, and I doubt this would pass even in the worst case completely verbatim. But certainly a lot of it could. I think if people aren't paying attention, or if members of Congress feel emboldened to just do what Trump says and ignore their constituents. So it's going to be important for people to be heard loud and clear, so that their members know that these kinds of cuts are just not something that their constituents will tolerate.
Right, and this is where I reach out to my Republican listeners and my friends in the Republican Party. It's your party going to have to save this, because I don't think the Democrats have much that they can do.
Well, I think, you know, and Democrats, I think there's important rules both to stay united and to drive for a good deal. I mean, what we need is the kind of budget deal that we've had in the past, where there's equal increases for defense and non-defense. That's what's been done the last several years, and I think that's what makes sense again now. And you know, this is going in the opposite direction. I think it would be absolutely the wrong approach to take. But we need to get another budget deal, and Democrats need to be there pushing for a strong deal. In the Senate, Democrats can stop this. I mean, in the Senate, they need 60 votes to pass to pass this stuff. And there's no reason that they should be able to get 60 votes for the kinds of things that we're seeing today in the Trump budget.
We shall see. Harry, I appreciate you taking some time for us, laying it out. Good stuff. Thanks.
Thank you.
Harry Stein, Director of Fiscal Policy there at the Center for American Progress. You want to take a look at his article? We've got a link there at thericksmithshow.com. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. Listen to the Rick Smith Show.